What up, though? It's your boy CB. That's Chillby, and this is the Chill Bravado Podcast, where I bring you a series called Lakers 82-16, where we cover the grind of an 82-game long season where it takes 16 wins to get the chip in the end. And we are on the outside looking in of all the excitement and all of the drama, but we still have our own drama on the outskirts of the NBA landscape. We're going to get to all that. We got to talk about this head coaching shenanigans that's going on. I was trying to avoid it until we got more, you know, just information. But we seem to be getting a lot more rumors and just, you know, national attention because of one name. And that's two letters, J.J. I'm going to talk about that. But I'm also going to get into, you know, our matchups in the playoffs, the real actions going on. We're going to talk about the Knicks and the Pacers. We're going to talk about the Wolves and the Nuggets. Mavs OKC, Boston taking down the Cavs, and that will lead us also into the conversation of Donovan Mitchell as all that begins to, you know, take place and the rumors going to flurry and fly. So we have a lot to get into. We're going to break it down just a little bit because we have a long off season. No need to try to rush the conversation. We'll talk about it piece by piece. We'll put this thing together brick by brick and form a foundation of what this offseason will look like for the Lakers, as well as we'll see how this plays out in this in the NBA playoffs and see who will be reigning champion once again. All right, let's get right into the action. Let's start with the Knicks and the Pacers. And when I look at this series, I only view it through a lens of who has the better chance of beating the Boston Celtics. That's the only care I have about this series. And even though they're beat up and shorthanded and coach is probably going to run them in the ground, Thibodeau is going to run this team to death. Although he let Josh Hart finally check out of a game, you know, which is amazing that it took so long, but I'm rooting for the Knicks to end this in a couple of days. I know they don't play tonight. Tonight is the T-Wolves and the Nuggets, and this is a chance for, you know, the force of game seven, which I'm hoping for because I don't want to see this series end just yet. I think Denver is a team that we look at and say, you know what, if they beat the T-Wolves, they have the ability to beat Boston as well. So at the end of the day, although I'm rooting for Minnesota to make forces to a game seven, if I'm playing chess, I do not want to see Boston win another title and get to 18 before the Lakers. So if Denver wins, I'm going to have to, you know, take back all the nasty things I've said about this team and root for them, you know, for the greater good. But seriously, though, I think the Knicks, just with Hart and, you know, and DiVincenzo and Brunson, they pose a problem to Boston that I don't think the Pacers really can do. Pacers play one way. They don't really have any other ways. They don't have enough defense. The Knicks are just that grit and grindy kind of team. And I feel like if they were healthy, this would be over already with the Pacers. I just feel like they were overwhelmed them just with their ability to play with size and have Mitchell Robinson and Hartenstein and Steiner. I'm just going to call him Frankenstein. And have him and have OG and not even Julius Randle. You know, all these guys they would have will be able to just come at you in waves. And not to mention Brunson, all he would have to do is just score. Like, just play respectable defense and score. So I'm picking the Knicks to go ahead and finish that, and hopefully they get that over with so they can get ready for that matchup with Boston. Boston, who I feel like, although they're able to even beat the Knicks without Porzingis, if you're going to the finals, though, and you're facing Minnesota, or if you're facing Denver, not having KP is going to be a problem because it's going to be tough with him. Without him, it's really going to be a struggle. So I can only imagine what it would be like when you're going up against Joker, who's now, like, he's seen three bigs. And you got to throw more than that, baby. You got to do more than that. So, yeah. So I'm just looking forward to the Knicks finishing this off. And let's give Boston a real challenge instead of what they've been through. Next, we'll go Mavs OKC. You know, all these games are 3-2, you know. So the Mavs pulled out last night in a nice win. They have P.J. Washington, who's playing out of his mind. Luka, who's a little sore and banged up. Kyrie, who's just kind of doing what he has to do. But they have gotten themselves to a position where now they're more athletic and they have size now, and you have two guys who are closers, and it's just a great thing to see when the thing that I figured would hinder them has now been kind of answered to a certain degree with the size and athleticism that they've added to the roster. I feel like this still will be a tough task for them to beat Denver or Minnesota, but in this matchup against OKC, who I think can only play one way, and they just don't have enough size. So even though, you know, it's a successful season for OKC, they're young, so they're not really going to get in a whole lot of pushback. Everybody's going to look at them and say they're young. Oh, don't worry, they'll be back. But I tend to be like, well, let's see what they do now. Now that they finally turned on, turned the pressure up, let's see what they're able to do now, consistently in the consecutive years, because they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with all those draft picks. What are you going to do? You have to start paying guys. It's all fun and games right now until it starts turning into a business. And then basketball becomes, not necessarily the top priority. It becomes like, priority number two, our co-priority is going to be the business with the basketball and how we can mix it together. Because right now you're just playing for the love of the youth of it. And I just feel like they're going to have to make some moves. They're going to have to get rid of some people. Or just trade those picks and figure out what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do. But the Mavs, I really enjoy watching them just to see how they're going to figure it out and play. But when they go up against the Nuggets or the T-Wolves, if they go ahead and finish out OKC, I'm curious to see how that size manages up against those teams. Now, as I speak on the Nuggets and the T-Wolves, T-Wolves who have now allowed this to flip all the way to the Nuggets' favor. And they've allowed them to really just change this game. And then no longer the adjustments that Mike Malone makes are A1. We can't sit here and pretend like this guy's not a great mind and a great coach. And it's just showing that, now the blame game is once again happening. Instead of giving the credit to the Nuggets, we go on the Rudy Gobert, as Kendrick Perkins say, hate train. And then you got Draymond Green, who's sitting at home watching. I'm able to sit up on a platform and talk about the we and you need to get a stop stuff. It's cute and funny, but you're at home. And he says he could guard Joker better than Gobert. It doesn't matter what you can do right now because you're not in the playoffs. You didn't get the opportunity to. I find it hilarious just listening to him talk because I don't have a problem having a podcast. But I do find it hilarious that you're sitting at home and you're watching the games and you're critiquing it and trying to be like, the guy who's playing, who yet still has the journalist, style and analyst, and able to ask these questions like you're not currently a part of the brotherhood of the NBA. But it's all good and fun. So let's just see you next year when they come back around. I don't want to see anybody holding any punches on Golden State, mainly Draymond, because he doesn't seem to want to hold punches. But when someone talks about him and his team, he become, that guy. So I'm not going to talk about him anymore. But it's just funny watching him talk about the teams out there who are playing in the playoffs. And he's trying to be funny. But next year, when everybody's clowning on you, I don't want to see you choking out Gobert again, okay? So we'll see. We're going to take a break. I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about the Nuggets and the Eagles just a little bit more. And then we're going to slide into the head coaching conversation, because it's the conversation that needs to be had now. Just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg. Yeah, we'll be right back. All right, once again, we'd like to thank you for checking out the Chill Bravado podcast. I just appreciate and enjoy all those who tune in, but make sure you go and you listen to the All Things Sports podcast with my boy, my brother, JR, who covers the world of sports. He's got a lot to talk about here. It's been a lot going on. The WNBA's kicked up. The NBA's going. We're getting into just multiple layers of sports that I'm glad I don't have to cover, but I know he has it covered, so I can just go listen to him and see what he has to talk about, what he has to say, and just go and check him out. All Things Sports Podcast. Check my brother out. Now let's get right back to talking about Denver, talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves, and what happened. The adjustments happened, okay? They sped Joker up the first two games. Jamal Murray was frustrated because, things weren't going his way. And I think that break between game two and game three, when you get the extra couple days, I think that benefited the Nuggets. They could sit down and look at the tape. Like, okay, they want to come bring this trap. They want to come pressure here. Well, let's let Aaron Gordon start to handle some of the ball. Okay, now what are you going to do? All right, bet. And then you get some role players who start to contribute, you know, Brown and Holiday and Jackson. You get these guys who are starting to contribute, and it's just amazing that although the starters, you know, play such heavy minutes for Denver as well, they don't have to fully rely on their bench to be great. They just have to be good enough. And it's just amazing to me, and I applaud the health of the Denver Nuggets because they are still able to really carry a load on their starters. And Aaron Gordon, although he's getting a little bit of praise now, I will continue to say this guy is one of the reasons why this team is so difficult to deal with. Joker has size. Joker has touch. Murray does what he does. Michael Porter Jr., who hasn't shot the ball great, he has size. KCP, he's going to run all over the court. And then you got some timely shots made from the bench guys. And then you got Aaron Gordon, who's out there just doing all the little things, doing the hustle work, being whatever they need him to be. And it's amazing to watch. And it sickens me at the same time because that's one of the guys that's going to end up getting them to the finals. But at the same time, he's the guy who I know that Boston will have no answer for. So if they're going to get past the T-Wolves and if they're going to get to the finals, I know that Denver will be the team that will really, really just go ahead and crush the Boston Celtics in the finals once again. Sorry, Tatum, I like you. Sorry, Brown, you all right? The rest of you, meh. So, you know, that's really what I'm just looking at. It's just amazing to me how Joker's out there putting the clinic on, and we're acting like Rudy Gobert is just helpless against him, and he's not trying hard. He's helpless, but he's trying. Trust me. It looks like he's trying. He's not backing down, but he doesn't have enough. And I'm not going to sit here and, you know, say I told you so, but people, you know, everybody who guards him, they clown. They try to clown AD. I think AD does way better than Gobert does on Joker, but I don't think it's really much else you can say. So now we're back to call him the best player in the world again. I'm just going to call him the best guy for his team and the best guy at what he does with the team they have. He really just maximizes everybody on the team. You can't just say, oh, well, let him make him a score. Well, he drops 40 on you, okay? And they win. Okay, so what do you do? It's just gonna be a tough task when you have guys like Jamal Murray with the two-man game that they have in the dribble handoffs, and it's gonna be tough when you have a KCP, consistent veteran. It's gonna be tough when you got Michael Porter Jr. at any given time, although he's missing now more than he did against the Lakers. A guy who can be a sniper or a big body at that position. And then the X factor, Aaron Gordon, who unlocks everything this team does as far as a physicality standpoint, as far as an advantage with the foot, with the foot speed at that position, with the strength at that position. All these stretch guys can't deal with what he can do. And then when he's able to score and handle the ball and take some pressure off Joker, yeah, it's a tough task. It's tough out. You know, I give these guys credit, but it's tough. So just leaning into that, you know, and I'm leaning out toward Boston. This is the team I think is going to be able to knock them off. But since Boston has knocked off the Cavs, it is spiraling to a conversation about Donovan Mitchell. And we're going to get to that conversation about Donovan Mitchell coming up next. And we're going to talk about the three-star build and what this may mean for the Lakers coming up next. Bear with me. All right. Now let's bring this home, and we're going to talk about how now that the Cavs are out and we're looking at it, and they're saying, well, Garland, who is going to be looking and saying if Mitchell signs his extension, potentially he'll be having a trade request on the table. Well, it's reports saying, well, Mitchell's frustrated with the team, some of the teammates, and their readiness for the playoffs and their seriousness. also him, you know, not really feeling Cleveland. So it's really going to be up to him. If he doesn't sign the extension, the trade talks are going to go through the roof. If he does sign the extension, Garland will probably be the next guy who will be talking about getting out of there. You know, Jared Allen thing came out where the organization or whoever is not happy with him because he wouldn't take the shots to fight the pain of the ribs. He refused to take those shots. And all this kind of leads just to what and who. What's going to happen and who is going to be went out the door. And if it's Donovan Mitchell, it has now been reported that Miami Heat are also a team looking in to wanting to get him. So that's another team that's going to be, you know, fighting with the Lakers for the building to trade for him. And how do I feel about the Lakers trying to get Mitchell? It just depends. What are we going to be able to do financially around him? So if you get a Donovan Mitchell and you trade away Austin and Rui or you know, and 3 first round picks or whatever you're going to do, how are you going to build around the team? Because I do like what Donovan Mitchell brings to a team with AD and LeBron, because one of the biggest problems we had with Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell, who I like to say are guards who make under $20 million, they don't have certain elements or parts of their game that allows them to be a guy who performs like a player who performs like he makes over $20 million a year. Okay. When you think about guys who get paid over $20 million a year, they're able to shoot it from outside. They're able to, you know, pull up and shoot the jumper off the pick and roll. And then the next thing is they're able to get downhill and attack the basket. So if you look at Russell, D'Lo, and you look at AR, Austin Reeves, these guys under $20 million type guys, they're able to shoot the three. They're able to, you know, come off the pick and roll and shoot the mid-range. But neither one of them really has the ability to aggressively come downhill and finish at the rack and just challenge the big to make a decision of coming off of AD or you know, coming off of LeBron and allowing them to be, you know, special around the rim. And this is what separates them from people like Donovan Mitchell and others, because Donovan Mitchell has the ability to shoot the three, come off the pick and roll, and he has the ability to get downhill and finish with authority. That's kind of what makes guys, to me, over and under. Like, D'Lo, he's crafty, not athletic. AR, crafty, skillful, not A-plus athlete. No. More like a C-minus athlete. Just not physical enough coming downhill. And if you're going to get a third star, he has to be, if it's going to be a guard, it has to be a guard who's able to shoot it, who's able to operate in the pick and roll and able to get downhill. Only problem is those guards are not cheap. And even if they are, and people talking about go get Garland. Garland makes like 36 and he averaged 15 and like 6 as a second option. D'Lo, who makes under 20 million, he averaged, you know, more than that. Or let's say they all average the same thing. And he makes under $20 million, and he was like the third, fourth option sometimes. So, if you get the wrong guy who makes over $20 million, who's not able to do all those things, it's gonna hurt your ball club. So, who are we looking at? Donovan Mitchell's definitely a guy. Trae Young, I don't see that happening on anymore. Now that he's left clutch, I don't really see Trae being a guy that's getting the buzz is gonna be like high on him for the Lakers. Yeah, just not a guy. A couple years ago, we capped out. We didn't have enough money. We had a guy who could do these things, and that was Malik Monk. If you remember him playing for the Lakers, he is the guy who you wish you had the money to sign. I even seen someone post and said, if you can get Lonnie Walker, D'Lo, and Austin Reeves and combine them into a player, there you go. Perfect guard to have with this team. Downhill threat, mid-range messiah, three-ball champion. Yeah, but that's just not how this works, so that's what I'm going to look at. What are we going to do? Are we going to aim for the guy who makes over $20 million? If we do, how do we build around it? Or are we going to, you know, stick with these Dennis Schroeder, AR, D'Lo level guards who make under $20 million and they have advantages to their game, but they also have big disadvantages to their game. And also, if you get a guy who's over $20 million, and he can do those things offensively. He doesn't have to be a second team defense guy, but he has to be able to at least at stay in front or attempt to be an average defender and not get played off the floor or get honeyed in crunch time or in the playoffs. So this is what's making this tougher and tougher to put your team in. So we look at all these things and we're wondering who could be that guy. Could it be Donovan Mitchell? Well, he played in Utah. He didn't really get it done there. Well, he's with Cleveland now, and they didn't really get it done. So is he really that guy? You do not know. You have to take a chance. And I feel like when you're on a team with LeBron and AD, it's just not going to be easy to build around a three-player star model, whatever you want to call it, just because of the amount of money that you spend on the three. And I just feel like it's just too hard to build around a guy who's about to be 40. LeBron has no business being, you know, the primary ball handler. He has no business having to guard and check, you know, some of the better perimeter guys at times. He has no business, you know, trying to be Superman anymore. I feel like if you utilize the assets you have and you're able to get a roster around him that gives him the ability to be a Swiss Army knife, he will be the best one we've ever seen, because he still has the pop to get downhill. He still threatens people when he's coming downhill. He's a great off-ball slasher when given the opportunity. Just doesn't have it that often. And he's able to shoot the three ball at a better rate than he's ever had. And he needs that as he's going into his 22nd season. Let's see if he can keep that up. He left out pretty relatively healthy, so the AD, but they both be playing in the Olympics this year. So what would it look like next year? Are they gonna play 70 plus games again? We don't know. Probably not likely, but we'll hope so. But it's just gonna come down to this gonna be a tight budget of how you're gonna be able to get that third star and put talent around him. Or if you go the depth route, what type of depth do you put around him that's going to give you the opportunity to where AD and LeBron does not have to do the heavy lifting on both ends of the court? It was once upon a time, AD was able, and LeBron defensively were able to cover up and manage and help all areas of it, but no longer the case. AD, who's now having to stay and guard bigs and not able to roam around and be as help side as he needs to be, that takes away from his superpower. LeBron, who's no longer the foot speed and laterally type of guy that he used to be, and even though he turns it off from time to time, he just doesn't have the juice to be able to do that night in, night out, game in, game out. So his superpower is still being a locomotive coming downhill, but defensively you can see that it's starting to be a little bit of decline and just an ability to be that type of athlete on a regular basis. So to me, it's just going to be tough to build around these two now. It's just getting too hard to do that. Don't really know, because you just have to have too many things go well. And I'll end on, at the top of that, you got to get a head coach. And J.J. Redick seems to be a topic of discussion. I want to mind the game and all, but I don't really know how this goes. And I've just accepted that J.J. is going to be the guy. And I text JR and I told him, hey, man, J.J. is coming. And that's going to bring a national media frenzy and whirlwind to every game. And it's going to be such an overreaction now. And his colleagues at ESPN and wherever he's worked at are going to have a lot to say. Doc Rivers already had a little bit to say about J.J.'s criticism of his coaching. So I can already see them. If J.J. has a bad stretch and they go like 0-5 if he's hired, oh, they're coming out for him. And I don't know what J.J.'s reaction is going to be. I don't know what his schemes are going to be. I don't know how he's going to play out. But all I know is both my teams right now, the Atlanta Falcons and the Lakers, are going to have such national buzz and people ready for their fall that I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle this alone. I might have to go get a co-host. I might have to invite guests more, because I don't know if I'll be able to remain calm during both seasons. I think basketball, I can handle that. But in football, it's going to be hard for me to falcon around and find out. But I'll get to that. That's another chapter for another day. I'm already going a little long. So I'm going to end it right here with just saying, if we're going with the three-star build, what coach are you getting? Can we get that? And is it time to start questioning Rob Pelinka as a GM again? Even though he's done well in the past, do we really want to see three stars? Is there really true way to get depth around this team that's going to really propel us above Denver and I guess Minnesota now that he's been pushed up? Because all the Ant to MJ comparison stuff is kind of quiet right now since they're losing, but we are championing him for his heroic scoring efforts. And I know in the previous episodes in the past, or even one that I had with JR, I said as soon as they have to go to Ant-Man being hero ball, it was probably going to go downhill. And unfortunately, Minnesota can't score. And we're going to, and we're pointing fingers at Cat offensively and pointing fingers at Gobert defensively. And, you know, here we are. But, you know, hey, the coaching search is on. I don't have time to worry about this. Yeah. This is your boy, CB Chilby, Chilby Vada Podcast. Lakers 82-16. I'm tired. Goodbye.